Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we watch every single VHS tape we can get our hands on, and then 7 days later, we gleefully await the sweet embrace of death. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm joined once again by Kennedy Cooper. Kennedy, what's up?
Oh.
Yeah, it's just us.
How'd I get here?
It's just us. Deanna, still in the desert, or maybe somewhere else. I don't know. I haven't been keeping track.
Like, I was just in another place. Like, I was like sitting down to breakfast. Wait, yeah.
I forgot to tell you that I invented interdimensional trapping someone on a podcast recording. I'm so sorry about that.
Whoa.
I feel like I would have buried the lead there a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know.
You should sell that technology.
Here's the thing. I don't want to sell. I'm going to be like the guy that invented polio or whatever and gave and copyrighted the thing for free.
Wait, he invented polio?
What did Jonas Salk do?
I think you meant to say he invented water polo.
Yeah, the guy that invented water polo, he copyrighted it and then gave the copyright away and said, anybody who ever plays
and said,
this.
This belongs to all the horses now.
Wait, is.
Every horse owns this game.
Water polo and Marco Polo are two different games, right?
They're the same person, though.
They're the same. A lot of people don't know Marco Polo was very wet.
Yeah. Slimy guy.
Yeah, Ben Shapiro hated him. Viscous. Anyways, Kennedy, it's good to have you here. Thank you for joining me. Listeners, I'm sorry we don't have a guest. A little peek behind the curtain. My life is a fucking nightmare right now. I am working so much for next to nothing. But yeah, I don't have time to do anything, and I'm barely sleeping. Kennedy, this is a strong stance. Semi regret getting a kitten. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I always warn people, including myself, to be clear, and nobody listens, including myself.
Yeah, no, if you would have told me, there's no way I would have listened.
No, there's no way. But
I feel like a few years from now, I will probably forget. But right now, let me tell you, this is... everything else in my life is also stressful and you know, taxing and taking up all my time. But the addition of having a kitten on top of that is very, very painful because at night, you know, I do not have time to sleep a full 8 hours most days. But even the few hours that I can sleep, Biscuit has one of two modes. I will tell you, it is either climb up everything, knock over everything, destroy as much as possible in a manic, psychotic state of just constant, just fucking shit up. That's mode one. Mode two is he wants to groom me, which is cute and it's sweet and it's so
groomer.
Adorable. Yes, my kitten's a groomer. I know. It's adorable, and I know that this is coming from like a place of like he is bonding with me, and it's sweet. But here's the reality of the situation is that he will start licking my arm, and he will just keep going. There's no end. So he'll just sit there and lick me for 20, 30, 40 minutes. I've just tried to ignore it. I've tried to like pick him up and put him somewhere else. And he just like is like forcing his head. Like he won't fucking stop to the point that like I've had to like kick him out of the room. But then as soon as I close the door, he's just on the other side scratching at the door. And it doesn't stop. There's no way around it. I don't know what to do. It is, I'm so exhausted from working, and then the only chances I get to sleep are being taken from me by this cute little cat. And yeah, so that's where I am. Life is hell. Kennedy, how you doing?
Well, it's better in some ways than a kitten, but it's worse in other ways. I started a business in February.
Hell yeah, Ghost Coast.
Some listeners may know.
Mm-hmm.
Things are starting to pick up with the business. but it's a lot to manage right now. And we're still in the awkward growth phase where it's like, I'm still basically making like no money.
Yeah.
You know, but it's going well overall, but it's like, I am exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Listeners, if either of you could just like fill in for me or Kennedy for a day and let us get some sleep, like let us know, write in worstweekyet@gmail.com. We appreciate it. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I'm proud of you for putting in that work. That's it's really admirable to go out on your own like that. But I can only imagine it's got to be very fucking taxing. So sorry about that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, without further ado, you know, we've got a lot of news to cover. So I want to begin with obviously the biggest story of the week, and that is the 2024 presidential Republican debate. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds exciting. Except we can't talk about that.
Why not, Kennedy?
Because we told the patrons all of our juicy secrets already.
Oh.
And it's for their ears only.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right, listeners. If you want to hear us talk about Vivek Ramaswamy, if you want to hear us try and remember who Doug Bo Burnham is, you're going to have to go to patreon.com/worstweek. Yeah, we paywalled it, motherfuckers. You know,
you want to know how many times Arkansas was mentioned.
We've got stats. Yeah. So head on over to patreon.com/worstweekyet to hear our, I will say, next level coverage of the primaries.
It was shockingly good.
Yeah.
We both felt like we were underprepared going into it, but then we had so many things.
We had a lot to say. And you can hear all that for as little as $2.50 a month. However, if you give at the level of $10 a month, that means we say your names and thank you personally. So, big shout out to You Fuck Like My Dad, Chauncey Anders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Downer, Andrea Humphrey, Goblin Mode, Optimus Crime, The Man in the West, Nandy Angelus, Josh Troopin, Nick Adams, parentheses Alpha Male, AJ from Baltimore, Idnex, Dragula 206, Brienne, and CIA Brain Bugs. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Okay. Okay. We are going to talk about other news. That's the only thing behind the paywall. So if you want to check it out, go check it out. But we got plenty more show for you here. So let's get into it. We record the show on Sundays. You know, I try to get a roundup of all the news that's occurred over the last 7 days. And when we recorded last week, there was a developing story that I chose not to report on because I wasn't quite sure how it was going to shake out. Talking, of course, about Hurricane Andrew Hillary. That was at that moment was coming for California. It ended up not doing quite as much damage as, you know, the worst case scenario that people were worrying about. But one really cool thing that happened is while like the Southern California was being pummeled by these like still like record rainfalls, they also had an earthquake, and like a hurricane is pretty fucking sick, right? Like, you gotta feel like the world's ending a little bit whenever you're like, oh my god, torrential rain poured, flooding up, the earth is like doing a little jig. Man, we get a little closer to the end times every week, and frankly,
we really do.
I'm glad to be your source of news on it. But yeah, it was pretty gnarly. Like the little Chavez Ravine where Dodger Stadium's at flooded real bad, and I know a lot of places around in that area got flooded. So yeah, but I mean, thankfully it didn't like kill a bunch of people, so silver linings, I don't know. Let's move on. I wanted to talk about this. This is something I just had been seeing people reference but couldn't figure out what it was. I kept seeing people talk about like, what the fuck is WVU doing, blah blah blah. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck WVU was doing. That's West Virginia University, for those unfamiliar. So I finally found a story explaining this, and this is fucking wild. So you know, because there's so much debate about student debt, about the rising cost of education, I was unaware that like many colleges are currently like experiencing insane like budget shortfalls. Did you know that this is happening, Kennedy?
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
So West Virginia University specifically is getting a lot of flack because 2 weeks before the new semester started, so like earlier this month, they announced that they were cutting like 22 of their academic programs, including like a lot of their like language division and programs and stuff. Just like kids are already enrolled at this school, and then all of a sudden they're like, we're no longer going to teach these classes. Like, apparently they are facing a $45 million budget shortfall just because their tuition, even for in-state, like just a tuition for the year is like almost $10,000, and that's not including room and board. If you include that, it's like $25,000. But they still I guess they over-leverage themselves, which is something we see a lot of businesses do in capitalism. Now, I know you're thinking, hey, shouldn't schools not be operated like businesses? No, you dummy. This is America. Yeah, of course they're going to be operated like businesses. So in the years like leading up to COVID and just like this point in time in general, a lot of these colleges like over like committed themselves to different things. And now attendance is like going down a little bit, like not a ton, but just like enough where it's making an impact that now all of a sudden they're like, oh shit, we can't do all the stuff we said we could do. And this is wild that this is happening. So like a lot of the students are fucking mad, a lot of like alumni and stuff. They're gonna, I don't know exactly how they're gonna get out of it, but it's interesting to see that not only are students not only are the people who attend colleges getting fucked over financially, but the colleges have in fact fucked themselves over financially, you know? Kismet.
Well, this is what happens when you base everything on these zany ass infinite profit models that can't really be sustained in real life. Mm-hmm. In the past, it used to be more common for especially certain types of businesses to restructure during times of crisis. They had the freedom to do that in part because they didn't have like a bunch of shareholders breathing down their necks like, where's the next quarter's profits?
Yeah.
There are still some businesses like this out there in the world, although there's increasingly few of them that operate like this. And it's unfortunate because colleges very much need to be one of these things.
Yeah. There's just like a million different ways that the education system is fucked in this country. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's just like healthcare. It's like, man, you know, maybe if we weren't trying to do all this for profit, we could maybe do it better. Who knows? Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't know. Well, hey, Kennedy, while we're on the subject of financial stuff that fucking sucks, I want to discuss with you briefly just a new study came out this week from some firm called Wealthcare Financial, which sounds very reputable. They announced this week that they concluded a study that says, or some analysis that says, that millennials and Generation Z will likely need about $3 million to retire. Now, Kennedy, I think this is good news because that means none of us have to worry about retiring anymore. Just don't even think about it. It's not happening. it alleviates a lot of that stress when you're just like, okay, I'll just work till I die. Don't have to think about it. Cash out your 401k. Just don't even fucking put money in that. You're not going to be able to use it because you'll be at work. So hooray. I will say this about the future. It's bleak.
Yeah.
My retirement plan, Kennedy, I don't know if you know this. It's die eventually. Here's the thing.
Probably standing up.
I tried quitting smoking for a while, and then I was like, wait. If I live into my 80s, I'm going to have to go to work all that time. So, like, I need to smoke more. Like, I need to die at, like, 55, maybe 60. And that way I never have to think about fucking saving for that. No. I can't live to 90. I will. That would be very embarrassing to be, 90 years old, just like going to work with my stupid little cat shirt. Nah, man. Nah, I'm not long.
Actually, that'd be kind of base.
Yeah. I mean, it depends where I was working. I feel like
especially if you were still driving the ice cream truck.
You kids want some SpongeBobs.
And they're like, what's SpongeBob, dude? We want your finger plank or whatever, you know?
Kennedy, I have to tell you, this is so corny to it in and of itself. It was corny, but to be retelling it out of the context of being at work, it's even cornier. I thought of such a fun little joke, like a real life bit to do, and I got to share it. So, you know, the SpongeBob popsicles, they're all like fucked up looking and haggard and shit, right?
Yeah.
So I thought of a little pun and just waited all day yesterday for somebody to mention, like, oh, I hope my SpongeBob doesn't look all fucked up. And finally it happened at like 7 o'clock, and I was out all fucking day. So I've been just like in the back pocket all day. And I turned to him and I was like, Hey, we don't sponge body shame around here.
Damn.
Anyways,
SpongeBob ready for hot sponge summer.
Nobody ever wants to talk about Sponge Dad Bod. Anyways.
Womp, womp, womp.
Oh, it's here. Don't worry. I got it.
Okay, thank you.
yeah. We're going to work till we die. Let's move on. Hey, we live in an increasingly fascist and violent country, isn't that right, folks? We saw a few instances of that this week. First of all, a woman in San Bernardino, California, was shot and killed following a dispute with some fucking bigot over the pride flag hanging outside of her business. This guy, I heard something that he'd been harassing either this woman or other businesses, just some fucking libs of TikTok fan that is just mad that the gay people are allowed to exist in most of the country still. He decided the best course of action was to kill this lady. And,
fuck you, libs of TikTok. Fuck you, Matt Walsh. Fuck you, Ben Shapiro. This blood is on your hands. And I think you know it.
Oh, it is. And speaking of blood on hands, this ties into the other story I wanted to talk about before we really get into analyzing this all the way, which is just yesterday.
I want to add one last thing to that story, actually, which is that the woman who was killed was straight and heterosexual and cisgender.
Well, I mean,
and
she was part of the woke mob, Kennedy.
I just think it's worth noting that because it's like, these folks' violence will be directed at anyone that they don't like or that does not get enough in line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You are not safe from fascism just because you're not a part of the group. Even if you just think that that group is okay, you are not safe. So our next story, as I said, this is part of the same thing, so that's why I'm kind of grouping them together, which was yesterday some fucking racist white supremacist piece of shit went into a Dollar General in Florida and went on a shooting spree and killed 3 black people and then himself. So again, these two stories, they're not like related, but they are part of the same trend, which
they are related, unfortunately.
Well, which is like, so I saw Robert Evans. He said something that, what the fuck was it? where this is like a decentralized right-wing insurgency kind of a thing.
And yeah, I've been talking about this for a while too.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've kind of like known was going on, but I just like hadn't seen that just like a three-word description or whatever. But yeah, it is. It's a real thing that like this isn't, you know, the Civil War is this, if the second Civil War or whatever, that's not, it's not going to be this like one half the country fighting the other. It's just increasing fucking racist bigots that are inspired by people like Matt Walsh or Libs of TikTok or Alex Jones or whatever, just deciding that, okay, like today is the start of the Civil War and I'm the first shot. And I mean, it's been happening. It's going to continue happening. It'll likely increase. And, you know, the news, the media treats this as if these are all individual, like lone gunmen, like lone wolf. This isn't part of anything.
They're not. This is the thing. Now this is something I wish I still had from Twitter. Then it's unfortunate I got banned. Who knows? It's probably somebody saw something like this and that's the real reason why I'm banned, knowing Twitter. But I did a thread about how if you look at a lot of these quote unquote lone wolf shooters, a lot of them reference each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this clear chain where you have these folks referencing each other's manifestos, expressing similar ideas, and people act like, well, the fact that they're not all a part of the exact same political club means what, blah, blah, whatever. It's like, it doesn't matter. All right. These people are, they're looking at these shooters who came before them. They're reading each other's manifestos and social posts and, you know, whatever. And then they're copying each other's acts and they're copying some of each other's language and behaviors and stuff. None of that is a series of unrelated events. All right. There's got to be some fucking reason why we have so many more mass shootings than other countries. And it's not just the guns, because there are some other countries where guns are pretty freely available where they still don't have this problem.
Yeah. And specifically, if you look at some of those countries where they have much fewer mass shootings, but still a lot of guns, the few times that they do have a mass shooting, it's the exact same shit. You find the fucking manifesto and it's like, oh, this guy was a fucking white supremacist Nazi. Like, okay, great. Yeah. That's just kind of a thing that Nazis do.
So this guy had, drawn swastikas on the rifle.
Yeah.
That he used to commit these heinous acts.
Always, you know, if you're looking for a sign that somebody might be a Nazi, check to see if they drew a swastika on the gun that they used to kill a bunch of people.
So, you know, it's going to be really convenient to see how the right-wing commentators once again spin this as somehow not related to anything whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Just another random act of violence that doesn't mean anything at all. It's going, these acts are going to increase and they're going to continue to become more overt like this, where, you know, this guy felt completely unafraid to just walk in there with swastikas on the rifle. And it's crazy to think about someone's, because you think if somebody's going in there with the mindset they're going to kill some people and die, that they would be bold enough to just say whatever's on their mind. But actually, that's not true. Mm. And so a lot of these folks are still, when they're committing these heinous crimes, they're still hiding some of their beliefs.
Yeah.
And we've seen that multiple times. And it's especially apparent in cases where like the shooter doesn't die and then they're trying to like get out of some of the trouble. And it's like suddenly they act like they didn't have all so many of those beliefs. They try to cover some of that up.
Right.
Kyle Rittenhouse, great example.
Oh yeah. He's just a scared little boy.
He's just scared a little. He was just there because he was concerned about the protests getting out of hand in general. And he didn't have specific politics when he went there. How often have you heard that kind of narrative now? You know, and we all know the truth, which is that he was on social media posting, I want to kill black people, basically. Yeah. And it's just like, holy shit, like, how are we going to fucking Jesus Christ? So the fact that this person felt bold enough to go in there, just making it clear this is an overt racist act, is only going to get worse, folks. And the only way out is to combat the bigotry. And we can also do some stuff with guns that will help potentially. And I'm not against that, but I'm just saying the only way out is to combat the bigotry.
I saw something that this, the Florida shooter, just a few years ago was involuntarily committed because he was, you know, the police showed up and he was so like unwieldy or something. I fucking only saw a tweet about this. I wish I would have looked into it more, but something about like how he had semi-recently been like been deemed by the state to be dangerous enough that he was like involuntarily committed. I feel like that he shouldn't be allowed to get a gun. Like people, I mean, I don't know. Cause like, obviously the state does some fucked up shit and will say that people are dangerous when they're not, but like, I don't know what the fucking solution is, but, it's not pretend like this is all some coincidence.
I think the solution is we should think about seriously about de-arming our society to some extent.
Yeah.
And I say that as somebody who is pro-guns and doesn't necessarily want my right to own guns to be taken away from me entirely. But I would be willing to have some of those rights curtailed for the good of public safety at this point. For sure.
Yeah.
Here's what I believe. We have to disarm with a lens of privilege. Because way too often, it's let's disarm black people in California, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we know the truth about the assault weapons ban in California. It had everything to do with racial motivations. Nothing to do with gun violence.
Right.
And now they tout it as, look at us, we have a little bit less gun violence because blah, blah, whatever. And it's like, shut the fuck up. So we need to de-arm the United States through the lens of privilege. We need to start by disarming the police heavily. Then we need to disarm straight white men next. I'm not joking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you take the guns away from like black women first, which is like not an unlikely scenario in a lot of places, the way like some of these laws could work out is like they're going to be taken away from groups like that first.
Mm-hmm.
Black women are one of the most responsible groups of gun owners in the United States, and they consistently report that they need those guns to feel safe. And that's not a fucking joke.
I don't know. It's yeah.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. I don't disagree. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I think I've said it before, but like the one thing that, and there was also like another couple mass shootings this week that I didn't, there's just so many that, I think like the way that it needs to be framed by people in power. And I think I have said this before is that like, this is just what it costs to have guns, and like nobody's ever honest about like, hey, like you can keep your guns, but this is what it costs. Like any place you go into in the entire country, somebody just might walk in and shoot you, and that's just the reality of it. Like everybody's like pretending like, oh no, like responsible. It's like, yeah, I mean, not everybody's gonna be responsible. I don't know.
I think it's partially that, but I think it's also the partially this is the cost of having unregulated, angry men who have had their feelings validated by everyone.
I don't know. We live in an increasingly fascist dystopian hellhole, and many more people die. Thanks, Joe Biden. You know what? That's not fair to single out Joe Biden. Thanks, literally every president in my lifetime.
Literally every American president.
Okay, let's move on. What do we got? Oh, this is, I don't know if this is good news, but this is something that if it works, if it's enforced, it'll be good news. I don't know. This week, the National Labor Relations Board ruled that if an employer commits unfair labor practices in the run-up to a union election, that the election will be canceled and the employer will immediately be ordered to just recognize and bargain with the union. Now, that's
base.
That's really fucking big if it's enforced. And that's the one thing is that, like, this is sounds too good to be true, which leads me to believe that nobody will ever fucking actually be forced to do it. But like this is huge because like anytime I've heard from folks that are trying to unionize like a business that hasn't been unionized before, like, you know, people trying to unionize Targets or, you know, Amazon's or Starbucks or whatever, like the thing that they say is like, as soon as it, like, they start talking about it, that the company just like engages in all these fucking practices where they're trying to like pressure people not to vote to unionize, which is, you're not supposed to be able to do that. But like, there's just like not really much that anybody can do about it other than like, you know, take it to the courts. And then like by that time, it's already years have passed and whatnot. So this being something that is triggered just automatically, like, oh, you're trying to fuck with the union vote. You've got a union. Fuck it. Suck, you know, deal with it. So I don't know. It's slight optimism. It's just, you know what
it is? It's kind of interesting though, because it does call into question, why is everyone not unionized by default?
Yeah.
Right. Because clearly, like, if it makes sense to just enforce the union when a situation like this arises, I don't know. Just kind of curious, don't you think?
yeah. I don't know. It's like I said, it gives me a little bit of hope. It's just the effectiveness of this hinges on the federal government doing what they're supposed to do. So like, it's hard to have faith in any of our institutions at this point in my life. So I don't know, but something to maybe be hopeful about, I guess. I don't fucking know. Hey, you want to know something not to be hopeful about, Kennedy? That little bit of hope you just had, listener? Well, I'm going to fucking destroy it right now. So buckle up. This week, a study was published that said in all but one out of the five main spots in Antarctica where emperor penguins meet to mate, four out of the five experienced what the study calls a, quote, total breeding failure, end quote, last year. So apparently, because they've lost so much sea ice, that in four out of the five spots where emperor penguins breed, the penguins all died whenever they were babies because they didn't have enough time on the ice before going into the water. And so the entire generation, four-fifths of the generation was just wiped out.
Wow.
Hey, remember penguins? I'm speaking a few years in the future. We won't have them then. That's a bummer. And there's nothing we can do about it. So
climate agenda.
Yeah. Oh, well, the climate agenda. Yes, of course. Here's the thing. Have the penguins ever considered to just like not be woke?
Have the penguins tried voting for Republican representatives that would give them more control over how their dollars were spent?
Yeah. I mean, they need vouchers for penguin schools. They need, I don't know. Don't penguins mate for life too? Like, this is an attack on the family, Kennedy. Okay, I've got it. I've got our new strategy how we fight conservatives, we start talking about Penguin family values. This is so sad. Penguins are so cute. God damn it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's not cute? Men. This week, Spain won the Women's World Cup. The Spanish football team won the World Cup. And in the celebration, they beat out England in a 1-0 game. In the celebration, the head of Spain's Federation of Soccer, like the number one guy, the commissioner of Spanish football, whatever, he grabbed one of the players from the team and kissed her on the mouth. Like he was trying to recreate that fucking like World War II photo where that man just grabbed some random lady and kissed her. That was inexcusable then, but like more understandable in the times. Dude, it's 2023 and he just grabbed a lady and kissed her like on live fucking TV. And the entire women's team is like, we are never playing another game unless this dude resigns. And the dude's like, no, I think it was just taken out of context. I'm not going to resign. yeah, undefeated at making things as worse as possible. Men, you know, nobody can come close to us. We are, you know, and I'm just going to say it. I don't like this. I think it is pretty fucked up.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I really hate that story.
I'm hoping that he will resign because like I said, the entire team's like, we're not playing again.
Homie, you need to resign from being alive. Maybe
I would maybe go just, you know, I was so overcome with joy that I just did a sexual assault. Like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Yeah. Horrifying. Congratulations to Spain though. Hopefully this dude resigns because it would be a bummer if none of you ever played again, I guess. I don't know. It'd obviously be more of a bummer if this dude retained power. But yeah, just a wild story. Just wild sports. They do it again. Hey, you know who else did it again? Joe Biden. Ever heard of him?
John?
No, we Chuck talked. We
Bran Krug?
Bran Krug. Yes. Yeah, Joe Biden, he is, you know, he's not cute also. As a man, he's not cute. He this week, finally, after what, it's been like 2 weeks now, went to look at the devastation caused by the wildfires in Maui. And
I've got something to say about this.
I think he was like on the ground for like an hour or two and then left or something. Like he's, you know, he didn't throw a single roll of paper towels. He did not. I don't know what else he does, but I think I didn't look into this too much, but I think he did what is generally referred to as a bad job. What do you got on Biden's little short-lived Hawaiian vacation, Kennedy?
Yeah, I would also say that I think he did a bad job. Here's what I also noticed about Jim Bronson's trip to Hawaii is that this man's tells this story about Jill Biden and the house being on fire.
He did?
On a regular basis.
Okay.
He's used this story more than once about the firefighters pulling Jill out of the flames and him being so scared and all this, whatever. That story is, to paraphrase a powerful man, malarkey. The firefighters involved, the New Jersey firefighters involved, have confirmed multiple times that, you know, Jill Biden just set the kitchen on fire making breakfast, basically. And it was no big deal at all. It was no big deal at all. She just scorched the kitchen a little bit. No one was harmed whatsoever. Most of the house was fine. Damage was probably a couple $1,000s total. Like,
yeah, it's maybe not comparable to an entire city being wiped off the map.
Maybe not comparable to over 800 missing children. Yeah. Joe Biden.
Democrats don't care about missing children, Kennedy. In fact, they take them. it's horrifying.
Where are those children, really?
Check underneath the. Never mind. it's. I don't know. I don't know, like, the best way to do a disaster response, but it can't be. Trot him out there to talk about his own shit that is more inflated and then get him out of here. I don't know. We live in hell. Hey, speaking of future former presidents, our next story is about a man who, let's say, definitely was and very well may be the president once again. I'm talking about Donald Trump. This week, Donald Trump, they got him. Kennedy, they got him. He went down.
So fucked up.
He checked in
the Matrix. The Matrix's agents.
Ooh, yes, that's right. Smith and, you know, the rest. Donald Trump, he got. And he turned himself in. No high speed chase. No constitutional crisis. No him just defying a judge's order, which I'm honestly shocked he didn't even consider doing. He turned himself.
He considered it.
But I'm shocked he didn't fucking do it. Like, you know, all these fucking people talking about like this is a civil war. It's like he turned himself in. Like, what do you think? Let me ask you a question, Kennedy. What do you think would have happened if he just didn't show up? Because he had a deadline of Friday, I think at like 10 a.m. or something. What do you think would happen? Do you think they would just be like, we're going to extend the deadline? Like, what do you think they do? Like, are they going to send a fucking hit team into Mar-a-Lago?
I mean, when you're that rich, I think what they do first is call your lawyer.
Fair.
And then your lawyer gets some opportunity to negotiate with them, and the extent to which they are going to do that or not is generally based on how much you're paying them and things like that. And anyway,
it's like he had the option to just not participate, to just be like, this is all lies, they're just trying to, it's a witch hunt. But I don't know. It's strange that he's participating. And
honestly, he should have demanded that the cops bring him in. It would have been more gangster.
Yeah. I was speaking of which. So the Trump mugshot was released, and here's the thing.
It's probably the best photo of Donald Trump in the last 10 years.
Nah, that one with him with slick back hair. I'm telling you, I don't know what it was, but slick back hair Trump. That is a whole different guy. That is a whole different fucking guy. Here's the thing. I would never buy any product or service from Donald Trump. But if he had slick back hair, I'd just give him my wallet. All the credit cards. Do whatever you need. Like, I'm getting swindled, and I'm going to be happy about it by slick back hair Trump. I will say, I think that a lot of people were excited about the memes. A lot of people were excited to finally get the mugshot, and I think people were maybe just too excited, and I feel like the memes weren't that good. It might just be like an algorithm thing, but I feel like
one really good one, but outside of that, I would say I kind of agree the memes weren't very good. They felt very forced.
I think it's we had too much time to prepare. The night that Trump got COVID, it was, I mean, like, not a surprise, but, like, not something that people saw coming. So the takes, it was just, everybody was, like, off the top of their head, like, oh, I'm going to just, like, say whatever I think of first. But this was, like, people not only knew that this was coming eventually, but had, like, 24 hours, 36 hours to, like, really sit down and, like, I'm gonna craft the perfect tweet. And I don't know. I feel like we overthought it a lot.
Also, it's like too many of them didn't feel organic to just like the nature of the photo, or like, you know, it's like you said, it's like, it felt like it was crafted way in advance. Not like you saw the photo and then you thought of something funny.
Exactly.
I saw one though, that did feel like they saw the photo and they thought of something funny, which is they overlaid like a microwave grill shadow over him. And it was like me coming for the chicken nuggies at 3 a.m. And I thought that was true, because something about that face just worked with that caption.
Yeah.
And just that little gentle bit of photo editing that just, it didn't seem like, you know, something they had prepped way in advance, but just something they had come up with.
It was a choice, though. He made a wild face in that fucking, he looked pissed in that mugshot. And yeah, I don't know. It was a choice. Did you see the mugshot of the?
I think that's part of the reason some of the takes didn't work. Is I think too many people expected him to look like a little disheveled or a little confused
or defeated,
or a little defeated maybe. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have any of that going on, and so a lot of people's takes were kind of like, it was like you were hoping in your mind he would look more defeated, but actually, he looks like, I don't want to use a word like too strong here, but like he looks kind of like almost like mildly threatening.
He looks ready to fight.
He does look like he's ready to get in a fight.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I don't know. I think he kind of played the mugshot to his advantage, which again made it look like a thing that, it's like a lot of the memes and takes that people tried to work with just didn't work.
Also, I'm sure you heard about this. He fucking tweeted for the first time in like 2.5 years, just a picture of his mugshot with like a shitty, like MS Paint, like, never surrender, like fucking meme that he made himself. That was like, once again, Donald Trump better at Twitter than every person trying to make fun of Donald Trump. The fact that he got on for the first time in 2.5 years and just tweeted out his own mugshot, funnier than most of us, funnier than all of us. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see him see how thick that Teflon on Don is. Well, hey. Speaking of how thick something is, that actually has nothing to do with our next story. I wanted to talk briefly about the Oliver Anthony of the week. Now I don't know. I didn't really want to talk about this too much, like whenever the song came out, because like,
I am excited to talk about Oliver Anthony. Actually,
I think that like a lot of people, I have like a lot of feelings about this, because like obviously like the song itself, this is like, without knowing any context like about what this guy believes, the song, it's like some of the stuff, it's like this is like populism for stupid people, but like at the very least, like, I don't know, a lot of people were like, this guy is evil, and I'm like, I think he's just kind of like doesn't understand things, and like, you know, the things he's singing about, like, especially like he has like, there's lines in the song about like working too hard and the boss is richer than him. Like there's, it's just like a lot of the blame is misguided, you know, blaming people on welfare. And I don't think that's good, but on the scale of things, it's like, I don't think that that's that evil. And obviously like nobody would know who this guy even fucking was if it wasn't for the right wing, like latching onto it and astroturfing the fuck out of it. So I just didn't really have like that much to say about it. The song itself, like just sound wise, like I kind of fuck with it, like but all context out of it, I just kind of like the way it sounds. But it doesn't matter. It ended up coming up last week just because the guests that I had on, they talked about it, so we did speak on it briefly. But there's been some updates with him this week, which first of all, he went woke, Kennedy. Oliver
yes,
Anthony has succumbed to the woke mind virus when he said something about how, I don't know, diversity is good. America's a melting pot. Like, I don't know. What do you want me to say? So clearly he is losing a lot of support. I saw a lot of people saying, people that went from 2 weeks ago, I had no idea who he was, one week ago said he was like the greatest, the voice of a generation. This week are saying he's a psyop. Fucking love that kind of shit. But then the other thing that happened was that he was interviewed because at the GOP debate, which you can hear our full coverage on at patreon.com/worstweekyet.
That's right.
At the GOP debate, the very first question was about his song. Like, that's, and I mean, they really asked, they were talking to the candidates about economic stuff, but like, they,
yeah, and the song, I just want it for anybody who's not aware, it's called The Rich Men North of Richmond.
Yeah.
And they referenced this song. I know what you're about to say.
Well, I don't know what I was about to say, actually. I got lost my train of thought. That's a very funny time for that to happen. Anyways, he was interviewed about this happening, and his response was like, when I said rich men north of Richmond, like, those are who I'm talking about. Like, it's these rich, powerful people that, you know, these politicians. And he said something like, it's not just Joe Biden. It's all of them. And now I will say, again, I don't support everything this dude says. I think that a lot of it is misguided. But just sheerly the fact that he has gotten all this attention from the right wing and isn't playing the game, I think that's really fucking admirable, because this dude could just keep feeding into the thing that he's like, that the people latched onto. He could be a fucking 100 millionaire in a year or two. And he's like, nah, fuck this shit. Like, I don't like I don't like that these fucking conservatives think I'm on their side. Fuck them. I think that is, again, not a full support, but I think that's really fucking admirable.
Okay, but listen, we on the left have always had room in our philosophy for the idea of critical support, you know, supporting somebody but not supporting everything that they're about necessarily. I think that we can have some critical support for Oliver Anthony. He's probably educatable, you know, he's probably somebody that we can bring around on some of these issues where he's wrong now. If he's willing to use his moment in the spotlight to speak some truth like this, that's not valueless. And we shouldn't just discount him on the left just because he has completely put his foot in on certain issues. We might get him to change his mind on those things. Clearly, he's not on the side of the right wing. So let's try to maybe call him in instead of call him out. That's my suggestion, if that's possible.
This is a perfect example of something that, like, I've witnessed that is, like, somebody is, like, you know, maybe on, like, a sort of the right path, but, like, has some of the stuff wrong. And I think a lot of, especially on Twitter and now Blue Sky, a lot of people's reaction is to just scream at them about the things they're wrong about, as opposed to, like, hey, like, there's a decent amount of stuff here that we can kind of agree on. And then just, like, kind of, I don't know, just be fucking normal to them. Like, there's, like, and again, I think that this is something that I only really see on the internet. I don't really even know that many leftists in person, but, like, just the mentality that, like, if somebody's not perfect, then they are the worst. And I think it's just such a counterproductive way to handle the world. And I think that, yeah, especially with some of the stuff this guy said this week, like, I don't know who's going to do it. Like, it's not going to be somebody tweeting at him. But, yeah, like, this is somebody that, you know, could be, what did you say, like, educated on, like, the issues or whatever? Or,
yeah, I mean, like, I clearly, like, he's open-minded and wants to be on the right side of working class issues. I think if some folks talk to him about welfare fraud and how it's kind of a boogeyman in our government and some things like that, he might listen. That's all I'm saying, you know? And I don't know who has that power. I don't know if anybody listening to this show has that power. But all I'm saying is that he seems like somebody that would be willing to have those conversations and listen and maybe learn. Is that the kind of person we want to throw under the bus? Somebody who seems like they believe a lot of the right things, but they have a few terribly critically flawed beliefs? I don't think so.
I'll put up a Twitter poll. yeah, but
we know what Twitter's gonna say.
It was refreshing to see. But hey, we got to move on. I need to go drive an ice cream truck. So we got a couple more stories here. Hey, remember Yevgeny Prigozhin, Kennedy?
Yeah, I.
Past tense there on that one. This motherfucker just like not even what was it like 2 months ago, something like that. Not even half a year removed from trying to do a coup against Putin, felt safe to fly on a plane inside of Russia. Yevgeny Prigozhin is super dead. Now here's the thing. According to the Russian government, they actually don't know whether or not his plane was shot down or sabotaged. So I guess the world will never know.
Okay, this is my favorite thing about this, is that the plane goes down and the official Russian state announcement comes out almost immediately. Yevgeny Prigozhin is dead. And then all these independent journalists are like, or semi-independent sources or, you know, mainstream, mm-hmm. but just not owned by the state per se, or, you know, all come out and they're like, hey, we don't know who's on the plane yet. Prigozhin's believed to be on the plane, but, you know, we need to confirm. And Russia's state official response is, he's dead. I just thought that was so funny that they were just like, oh no, we're confirming this.
Rest in peace to a real one. You never know what you have till it's gone.
But also, listen, and... dude, do not half measure a coup against Putin. And... this guy is he will kill you. Are you kidding me?
Apparently this is the fourth hot dog vendor that Putin has killed in his tenure. So that's pretty exciting. I didn't know anything about the other three, but somebody was like, stop selling hot dogs in Russia.
Also though, apparently if you sell hot dogs in Russia, you can rise to really powerful places.
Heavy as the head that wears the bun. Okay. So speaking of things crashing and burning, this week, Billy, what's his name, came in and announced that Fyre Festival 2 is officially on. That's right. There's going to be another Fyre Festival in December of 2024. He already sold out of all the pre-sale tickets. People gave this man money again, Kennedy.
How?
Okay, not only does he not have a single band even like to announce, even like lie about, that he didn't even bother trying to pretend there was going to be a single band there, he also is not legally allowed to do this in a few countries. Like, you know, he did the last one in the Bahamas was like, you cannot come back here again, you will be arrested on the spot. So it's just said December 2024, location the Caribbean. I don't know, but it's good to see.
Oh my God.
He hasn't given up on his dreams.
I just pulled this up because I hadn't seen anything about it. This guy is a master of spin. This guy should run for Republican president.
Oh yeah.
This is how his tweet starts, okay? The first Fyre Festival 2 drop has sold out. Since 2016, Fyre has been the most talked about festival in the world.
Hell yeah. And you know what? He is not even lying. He's
he's not wrong.
I wonder if that that guy who almost sucked dick for water bottles will be back involved, because I like that guy. He was going to do it. He was going to take one for the team. And, you need a guy like that on your side. You know what I'm saying? Just whatever it takes. It's a team effort. So I'm going to officially announce that the Worst Week Yet, we'll be doing our first show at Fyre Festival 2. Go ahead.
One more detail. I guess he was in prison until 2022.
Oh, you didn't know about that? Listen, he had a lot of time in there to plan the most epic festival of our lifetimes. That's right. Buy your tickets to Fyre Festival 2. We'll be there. We'll be there doing a live show. Maybe not Deanna. I feel like Deanna would yell at me if I tried to. You know what? Deanna's not here right now. I can commit this podcast to whatever the fuck ideas I want to. Thank you. Okay. Just a couple more things. This is fun. Kennedy, do you remember? This is so long ago. I got to try and think about what it was called. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm just doing my best to. There was a international pandemic that, I can't even remember. Okay.
You mean like a disease?
There was some kind of disease that spread across the entire planet, and it was so long ago that I can't even remember what it was called. Let me see. I did write it down in the notes, though, so I guess instead of remembering, I'll just read it. COVID-19. Now, we all know. We all know. It sounds made up, I know.
Familiar.
It sounds made up. Spoiler alert, it kind of is. So, there's a bit of COVID-19 news this week in that a Kentucky school district was forced to cancel in-person classes just 2 weeks into the school year because a full 20% of each classroom, just kids were out sick. Now, the story I was reading said with some with the flu, some with COVID, some with other diseases. Like, dog, it's shut the fuck up. It could have been anything. You never know.
You know, I got shot with that gun, but earlier in the day, I had smoked a cigarette. Maybe that killed me.
Smoking kills. Did the cigarette have a gun?
Ooh, a cigarette with a gun. That's like the deadliest thing that could exist.
Hell yeah. So that's always good that, COVID, much like Billy Fyre Festival, COVID just won't give up on its dreams. So our last story, this is a fucking nightmare. This week, this story is actually local to Pittsburgh. I don't know how much this was talked about outside of the city, but it was huge news here for a couple days. So this week, sheriff's deputies went to serve an eviction notice to a man who was living in a house that his brother owned before his brother passed away. Did you see anything about this story, Kennedy?
No.
So this was his family home. He wasn't like on the lease or on the deed or anything, but his brother lived there. And when his brother died, this guy just stayed in the house. And during this time, since his brother died, the house like went into foreclosure and then was sold at an auction for, I saw, $25,000. Now, houses in this neighborhood go for like hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is like a super, like, it's still in the early stages, but it's a rapidly gentrifying part of the city. So $25,000 was all this fucking home sold for. So this guy hadn't been paying anything, but he'd been living there for years and years. So the sheriffs showed up to evict him, which resulted in this man was unwilling to leave his home. So he got into a shootout. He barricaded himself in his house, and there was, I think it was like a 6-hour standoff where there was just like every 20 or 30 minutes, there was just like cops would start shooting into the house. He would start shooting back. And the police eventually killed the guy. I saw something about like dozens and dozens of the police officers involved in the standoff have requested to take paid time off to, just recover from the stress of the situation. And I saw another report that this man could have stayed in his house for as little as $1,000 in rental assistance. But instead, the house was riddled with thousands and thousands of bullets, and a man was killed. Also, somebody could fucking buy this house.
And although I don't feel particularly sorry for these cops, the fact that so many of them are now clearly traumatized and upset by this experience speaks to something that I've been trying to talk to people more lately, which is sometimes when I say that I want to abolish the police, people say, well, you just hate the cops. And actually, I think the kindest thing we could do to the cops is force them all to retire.
Yeah.
Why should we keep putting them in these situations where over petty amounts of money, they get into these unbelievably violent situations that lead to death? That's not good for anyone.
No, no, you're right. And
of course it's most tragic for this man who lost his life simply because he didn't want to leave the home that he lived in. And it should not have been taken away from him, period.
If you asked, a cross-section of the country, fucking anywhere, if they would use violence to defend their family home if the state was trying to take it away, you'd probably get like 75% yes. Like, this is something that, because he was a black man, I think he was a black nationalist too, but, because of like extenuating circumstances, they're able to demonize him or whatever, but like, just this, the state trying to take the place you call home is something that nobody fucking wants. And I don't know. I will say, obviously rest in peace, this man, I'm not defending him fucking shooting out the cops, but like if you will be homeless, if the cops take your house, like why the fuck not go down like that? Like what hope is there? Just a couple points in his favor. He shot down drones. They sent like 3 drones in and he kept shooting them down, which I think that's funny.
That's pretty rad.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Pretty rad.
And no police officers were shot or killed. It's,
peace to this poor man. And yeah. Let's hope for a world where we don't have to do this anymore because we just house people. Like if we just did things to guarantee people's housing a bit more, then this would simply never happen.
Yeah.
This is the unnecessary moment of violence created by the capitalist system. And if you are out there, thinking about whether or not capitalism really makes sense for the long-term future of humanity, I hope that moments like this stick in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And, hundreds of cops, there was SWAT, there was FBI, there was all, thousands of rounds fired between the two of them. And it's like, if you just sent a social worker to be like, what do you need? Like, what do you need to stay in this house? Oh, $1,000 to pay some back taxes. Like, let's figure out how to get that for you. Oh, there's like a state program that says, people experiencing financial difficulties can get, state funds to prevent them from losing their family homes. That versus hundreds of, all this money spent just like on getting these cops and FBI people there, then all the money that's going to be spent paying for them to take fucking vacations, then like all the money that's going to be spent, now the house has like thousands of bullets in it, now the whole thing needs probably fucking either taken down or just rebuilt one way or another. It's like, man, like I know that nobody wants to give handouts, but like there's so much more of your tax dollars going to these cops to take vacations than would have gone to this guy to stay in his fucking house. Like, I don't know. Your money is getting taken from you and given to the state instead of given to people. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure all the fucking costs associated. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, I mean,
you're not saving money by not giving it to this guy. It's right, going
exactly.
to the fucking cops.
It's like if that many fucking police officers are on the scene and now a bunch of them need leave and stuff like that, like we're talking like $100,000 probably when this is all said and done, which would have just housed this man for the rest of his life, probably.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Great. Great fucking job. Great job, society. The worst week yet. We're not usually serious, but this is so fucked up that we just, I think neither of us can even do anything except be angry.
Like I said, the only bright spot is that he shot down a bunch of drones, which is, again, very fucking cool. But yeah, everything else about this is horrifying, and fuck, I don't know what else to say about it. I wish there was just some way we could be, you know, more focused on, I don't know, not kicking people out of their homes and giving them the choice of you're either going to be homeless or getting a shootout with the cops. I wish there was a third choice for that person in that moment. But hey, that's not the world we live in. The world we live in is fucked, and you know what, Kennedy? It's going to be fucked either way, but I'm glad I get to live in it with you. You're a fun person to hang out with and talk about how bad everything is.
Yeah, same to you.
I hope they have friends in hell. Well, hey, listeners, thank you for joining us. Deanna will be back next week. And again, we had so much more fun talking about the fucking Republican debate. Did not see that coming. But it was a really good time. So head on over to patreon.com/worstweekyet if you want to hear that. And yeah, Deanna will be back next week. We'll have some fun. I'll find some fucking animal who shot somebody. I promise. Kennedy.
Yeah, we need a story where a guy's dog.
I want a guy's dog
pig.
To shoot a missile at somebody.
No, I want like a dog and a pig to conspire to murder a human.
I would like to see a goat kill someone with a knife. Is that so much to ask?
Oh, I like that. That's a little. Or how about a cat that accidentally blows up a gender reveal bomb early?
I will accept the cat's death as long as everybody else dies. That's actually an insane thing to say. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more bad news.